Hello, welcome to a special live edition of the Code of Honor podcast. We're so excited to be here. I'm Kylie. This is my co-host, Kyle. And Kyle, how was your weekend? You had a busy weekend.
Oh, man. I was traveling for work this past weekend, which sort of prevented us from recording as we normally do. But so it was a long weekend, a lot of really long days in my real life job, as it were. But I'm here. I got to catch at least some of the important stuff in ROH/AEW over the weekend. And let's dive right in. How are you?
I'm good. I think we had some good ROH wrestling this week. I'm really excited to talk about it. And I'm glad that people get us sort of, you know, raw and uncut. But I say we jump right into Samoa Joe and Minoru Suzuki. Did you have a chance to watch this match?
Oh, my goodness. yes, absolutely. This was everything everyone wanted it to be. It was hard-hitting. It was brutal. It was violent. And just great from top to bottom. I don't think anybody is particularly surprised that Joe picked up the win. Mm-hmm. Minoru Suzuki was always going to be an interesting choice as ROH television champion, especially with the TV belt, which is going to require so much emphasis and focus on domestic TV, especially given his commitments to New Japan and the G1 Climax coming up in July and August. So in that sense, the result probably wasn't in doubt, but man, did we have a good time getting there.
Yeah, I think Suzuki was a great choice. I assume the plan was always for this match to be on AEW television, and the AEW audience knows Suzuki, so I think it was a good choice. I thought the match was excellent. I was concerned going into it that Samoa Joe, you know, maybe there would be some ring rust or some problems there because he hasn't wrestled in a long time, but he was on it. The match was great. It was brutal, but in all the best ways, and especially the chops when they were exchanging chops. I loved it. And of course, mm-hmm. You know, I'm a long time Suzuki fan, so I thought it was great. I'm curious about where Joe goes from here though, because we still know nothing about ROH TV. So I'm assuming he's going to be on AEW TV with the belt. And I don't know what we're doing with this.
Yeah. It does feel like we're, given what we saw, and we'll get to this in a little bit at Battle of the Belts, we're kind of building some ROH feuds using AEW TV, and we can't really say if this is because of a lack of availability or a lack of a plan or where things stand with the ROH TV deal right now, whatever you want to use TV for, whether that be streaming or what have you. It seems abundantly clear that we're definitely pushing ROH stories forward on AEW television for the meantime, which means as much as we were talking about it offline, this means that the Code of Honor podcast is probably going to be talking at least a little bit of AEW for the foreseeable future, because the two are just now, at this point, so inextricably linked. Mm-hmm. This is just what it's going to be. I'm also a fan of Suzuki. I did want to say I was a little disappointed, which is a weird way to phrase it. I'm trying to think of the best way to say this. I really liked the idea of Rhett Titus with the TV championship and finally coming into his own, determining who he was as a wrestler. I loved what he was doing with the foundation. And as much as I love Minoru Suzuki, I was a little bit disappointed that at this point, it doesn't appear that there may be a place for Rhett Titus in the new generation of ROH, which I think is an absolute shame. I hope that there can continue to be a spot for him moving forward. And I think that Joe versus Suzuki didn't necessarily need the Ring of Honor television title.
Yeah, I definitely think that's fair. I think that's a case for a lot of, you know, ROH guys. I just feel like And, you know, things could completely change when ROH gets TV. I don't know. But I feel like as long as ROH and AEW are sharing the same space, we're going to have this issue where it's there's a lot of guys who sort of were building themselves in ROH who are no longer going to be there. And they have to find themselves outside of Ring of Honor. And this is not to say that I'm upset that Joe is the champ, because I want Joe with all the titles. I think he's a fantastic talent. I just, and you know, maybe it's a, you know, an early presumption, but I just don't know if I'm a fan right now of the ROH AW shared universe model that we have.
Yeah.
And you know, they do want belts on the people they have signed right now, but the issue is they could sign people to be ROH guys. The news came out that Jonathan Gresham is All Elite, but he's working primarily going to be working ROH TV. So it's not as though there's no, well, first of all, there's a plethora of talent in AEW. Let's not get ourselves.
Sure.
But it's also like you have the money and the capacity and the space to build an entire new roster in Ring of Honor. And as of right now, it feels like that's not going to happen.
Well, and I'll also contend that there are guys that they have that are being used right now, but maybe not to their full potential, or maybe not that could tell other stories in ROH. For instance, the Pure title is on Wheeler Yuta right now.
Yeah.
And so he's obviously part of both universes at this juncture. And I'll drop another name that would be a fantastic choice to be an ROH television champion who is not doing a whole lot and and is also actually working with the ROH, the current existing ROH angle, which is Lee Moriarty.
Yeah.
Obviously, he and Sydal showed up at the end of Battle of the Belts as part of that whole angle. So clearly Moriarty has at least some tie there because he was also on Supercard of Honor. There would be an excellent choice as an ROH television champion to sort of go out, have great matches every week, you know. Samoa Joe doesn't necessarily, I almost feel like Joe feels too big for that title at this juncture because he's such a big attraction, but somebody like a Moriarty could do really interesting things with it in the way that Eddie Edwards did when he first won the title when it was created, when a young El Generico won the title, when there were guys that were sort of on the up and up and took that title as a stepping stone to the next level. A young Jay Lethal won that title forever ago. So that is just something we could go on about. The other ROH match that came up over the course of this weekend, the other big one, Battle of the Belts 2, Jonathan Gresham defending the ROH world title against Dalton Castle, baby. What did you think of this one?
I loved this match because I love Dalton Castle. And I love to see him getting this opportunity. The AW audience can see him. Because as great of a talent as he is and as unique, I feel like a lot of wrestling fans don't know who he is, don't watch his stuff, which is absurd to me because I think he is just the most unique entertainer and one of the most talented people in wrestling. I thought this match was good. I think Battle of the Belts overall had a weird vibe about it, and I think that affected this match. Not to get too much into AEW drama, of course, but Gresham, what a champion. What a wrestler this man is. I want him in AEW just because I think he's, you know, far and beyond a lot of the talent that's there. And that's not a knock on those talent, of course. But I think 2022 is the year of Jonathan Gresham. And him being, you know, the face of ROH moving forward is just the dream.
Absolutely. We all are about Jonathan Gresham here. And yes, as connecting people to wrestling, commenting on YouTube, Dalton Castle was something else. Dalton Castle is such a great choice to put on screen for some audiences who might not be familiar with ROH, because it was something that Paul Heyman once said back about the original ECW when he was looking for talent to put on screen. He wanted something that when you're channel surfing, you would stop dead in your tracks and look at that and go, wow, that's different. And that is the presentation of Dalton Castle with the boys. It's no longer the baby chickens. The boys are back. The boys are back in town, as Thin Lizzy said. I don't know if anybody's going to get that reference. I'm probably going to get a snarky comment at the bottom of the screen in any second now. But Dalton Castle's presentation is so fantastic. He can go in the ring. I've been loving his work since Smooth Sailing Ashley Remington and Chikara. He's a great choice, especially as a former Ring of Honor champion. And I don't recall him and Gresham having too many matches in the past either. I'd have to look it up. It's like, I don't know everything off the top of my head, despite what some would have you believe. But I don't really recall them interacting much. So it was a great choice there. And Plus we got Bobby Cruz is back. I love that that's now a thing. The more work for Bobby Cruz, the better. And of course it was a great match. It's Jonathan Gresham.
Yeah, I definitely think, I'm not sure how old Jonathan Gresham is, but I think there's just a slight difference in generations there, and maybe they just haven't crossed paths. I think in the future, if AW is going to do ROH title matches, regardless of the title, any of them, if they're going to do title matches on AW TV, they need to have a little more build, because this was just kind of announced. And we weren't really given any information about it or about Jonathan Gresham or about Dalton Castle until Battle of the Belts, which to me is a little bit of a misstep, because this was a great chance to get both of those guys over in AW and then put them back in Ring of Honor and get that viewership that they want. I think with the Wheeler-Yuta match, I think there was a lot more build there because he was already in that story with Blackpool Combat Club. Lizzie McGuire. I'm interested to see, and you know, maybe this is fantasy booking, but now that you know Wheeler Yuta has the title and he's sort of in ROH and he's in Blackpool Combat Club, I'm wondering if down the line we're going to see some intermingling there with Jonathan Gresham and Blackpool Combat Club, and the matches we could get out of that are fantastic. Do I think Tony Khan will save them for ROH? No, I think they're going to be on AW. But I'm glad that AW talent are sort of adjacent to ROH in these unique ways that we can get dream matches like Suzuki and Samoa Joe.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. That's definitely fair. I will say that Dalton Castle at least feels like a, yeah, that's where I was going. Thin Lizzy was a band from back in the day. And yeah, I saw Ryan Sullivan in the chat. He got it. So at least there's somebody out there who knows what's up. So thank you for that.
I got it. Thank you, Ryan.
Okay. I wasn't sure. It was probably their biggest hit. All right. But as I was getting to, Dalton Castle is at least a challenger for the Ring of Honor world title that makes sense. He was a former Ring of Honor television champion, former six-man champion, former world champion, because there have been some title matches since the hiatus that the challengers have felt very out of nowhere. And I'm sure that's partially due to who we can get, who we can sign, what have you. But there was definitely a sense in some cases of, why is this person getting a title shot? So I at least appreciated that. And anytime I can get more Dalton Castle on my TV, I'm a happy guy. Should we talk about the post-match angle?
Yeah, sure. You want to break it down for us?
Post-match, Jay Lethal hits the ring with Sanjay Dutt and Satnam Singh, who is apparently his new heavy now, which I guess is not a terrible role for him. It doesn't necessarily require you to do a lot other than be big. And hit the ring, went for the beatdown, double choke slammed the boys. This will not stand. I will not stand for abuse of the boys. This is not okay. But, Satnam Singh was the infamous, in case you missed it, lights out debut on Dynamite during the overrun that broke Twitter. And he appears to have been paired with Jay Lethal as his heavy now, with Sanjay Dutt as the mouthpiece. they came down, wrecked shop. Matt Sydal and Lee Moriarty came down to try to save as well. That ended for them about as well as you would expect. And finally, Samoa Joe comes out with a pipe as an equalizer, runs off the heels, and stands tall with Gresham. So that's about what we've got. We furthered Jay Lethal and Samoa Joe. And what did you think, Kylie?
And maybe I'm in the minority on this. I'm not really enjoying this at all. The Jay Lethal, you know, heel character is, I don't know, there's something about it that's not working for me. And I think the Dynamite angle with the lights out, I think people expected a big name. I think they expected Claudio, if we're being honest. And then the fact that it was some, it was, you know, Sutnam Singh, he's the first Indian and Sikh basketball player drafted in the NBA. He's a big deal in basketball. But I know that because I watch basketball. If you don't watch basketball, you're not into the NBA, then you're not going to know who this guy is. And all you see is a big, tall man. And they didn't do anything on Dynamite really to change people's minds. And I think that's why the Twitter outrage was as big as it was. And then this angle, it was great. I thought the chokeslam was good. Whether that's because of him or because of the boys and how and their ability to sort of make it look good. I don't know. We need to see him in something, though. I need to see him in a tag match or, you know, something where I can tell if he's going to have substance as a wrestler. And to me, the fact that he's paired with Jay Lethal, so clearly he's going to be involved in wrestling in some way. It's just not doing anything for me. And I feel bad for the guys like Gresham and Joe who are just kind of tangled up in this for no reason.
Yeah.
Are you enjoying it?
I will say that if the angle on Dynamite went off like it did at the end of Battle of the Belts, I don't think as many people are as upset as they are.
That's fair.
I think if you forego the lights out, this guy steps over the barricade, wrecks shop, and then Jay Lethal and Sanjay Dutt strut down the ramp with big smirks on their face, you know, and reveal their big surprise, whatever. I think you get your heat on it, and I think it works just fine. I think a lot of people still probably mm-hmm. complain because of, you know, the way that he's a 7 foot tall Indian performer who used the head vice. Until he gets in the ring, you're going to continue to see those great Kali comparisons, fair or not. But all told, it wouldn't have broken Twitter the way it did if he just appeared that way. Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead and finish.
That said, Battle of the Belts was fine. I don't mind the idea of Lethal and Joe being a sort of tentpole feud for ROH in the interim because they're both so good at what they do, and they have history. You can lean into that in Ring of Honor history, and they're going to deliver something new and fresh because they're both talented professionals. So, okay, great. I definitely agree with you about Lethal's heel run at this point being a little disappointing. You know, I remember the heel Jay Lethal in the House of Truth. I remember him being better than this.
Yeah.
More entertaining than this. And thus far, I'm just not seeing it. Maybe it's just because of the lack of in-ring work to further it. But yeah, so far it's kind of falling flat for me. I'm also intrigued to see why Jonathan Gresham is involved at all. If it was just a victim of circumstance. He doesn't have the Book of Truth either. And that just tied the whole thing together. I don't know if Gresham was a victim of circumstance here and just happened because of the only ROH match on the show, or if this is Lethal trying to skip to the front of the line and attack the world champion because he feels like he's done with Joe now, or, you know, where all this falls. Give me an interview segment. Give me a minute and a half video on Jay Lethal's Twitter feed or something. Give me something that moves this forward in a way. Because at this point, ROH does not have that much time on AEW television, and realistically, they probably shouldn't. It's not their show. But where are we?
Yeah, they're doing nothing that would convince the AEW audience to watch ROH TV or ROH YouTube, whatever it ends up being. They're not doing a whole lot to convince that audience to move over. Because Supercard of Honor, that was an excellent show. It was one of the best of the entire weekend. And they had a lot of momentum coming out of that. And they didn't capitalize on that momentum, and they still aren't capitalizing on that momentum. And to me, yeah, Jay Lethal needs to look lethal. He needs to be, you know, vicious and violent, because people want to buy into that. Because Jay Lethal in AEW up until this point wasn't, you know, a main event guy. He lost a lot of big matches, and then he had this character change, and now I'm expecting him to be significantly different. And he's not. And to me, you know, it's, you know, maybe it's an unfair comparison and it's too early, whatever. But this stuff with ROH now feels a lot like the way, you know, the Nightmare Family, Nightmare Factory stuff felt. It just feels like it's not cohesive in AEW. And that makes me not as interested in it. And that's a shame. And maybe that'll end when ROH gets its TV going. I have no idea. But it's just like, no, to me, with the exception of Joe, no one in this came out of this week looking stronger. Jonathan Gresham, very proud of him. I've been a fan for ages. I think his match was excellent. I think the AEW fans like him. But I don't think he needs to be involved in this, especially because of the, you know, distaste AEW fans have for the lights out angle and Jay Lethal and Sanjay Dutt and the lack of anything of substance that has happened for them. So you can anger me with your puns if you want. I mean, Kyle does it all the time.
I do. I try to be on my best behavior during the shows themselves, but every now and again, you know, you slip up. It's such an odd thing. And going back to the House of Truth, Jay's never really had a heater during his heel runs. I mean, yes, Michael Elgin was part of the House of Truth at one point, but I don't think that was really Elgin's role to be that. Elgin really was there as the younger, the younger babyface type who's going to break out from the heel angle. It's that classic role. That was kind of where he was at. He wasn't really a true heater for the group. Jay Diesel was there, but he really wasn't either, because it was Jay Diesel. And I might be the only person in the world who remembers Jay Diesel.
But, I mean, you would be.
I don't know. I want to like it, and there's enough pieces there to keep me watching and keep me liking, because I'm never going to not watch Jonathan Gresham. I'm never going to not watch Samoa Joe. But again, we've been begging for weeks now. Find me something. Find me something here to dig into. Yeah. And they're not giving it to me. And I'd be lying if I said I wasn't disappointed.
Yeah, I don't understand why with the Jay Lethal heel turn and sort of everything that's happened since there, why they aren't just giving him, you know, some lower card guys just to beat real quick, just to squash. If they want me to buy into Jay Lethal, and that's what's going to get me to watch ROH, Jay Lethal and Samoa Joe, they need to do more. And they're not. And to me, Jay Lethal and Sanjay Dutt in the crowd, and then they come out and they have the gift box, and it's all very silly, goofy, and then the lights out angle. I don't believe any of these guys are legitimate threats to either Samoa Joe or Jonathan Gresham, whoever ends up, you know, involved in this thing. And it's like, it's just crazy to me, because Wheeler Yuta, that was really good. Like, Wheeler Yuta is now, he went from here, and now he's up there with, you know, the Moxes of the world. And then you have FTR and the Briscoes, and then FTR and the Bucks. Like, these are high points. And it's like everything else is just dissipating because of the failure of this Jay Lethal run. And I hate to pin it all on Jay Lethal. Like, maybe that's not fair. but it's like everything around him is just, it's just dying.
Yeah. Well, and I see it in the chat, and I wonder, Jameis was probably going to be on it, and our producer, and is probably going to put this up for me, but from Ryan Sullivan says, they're trying to manage two brands within one right now. That is a heavy task.
Yeah.
And it's true. And the ROH brand is definitely struggling as a result of it. And off the top of my head, drop Jay Lethal on Dark and or Elevation every week, and have him appoint himself the self-styled face of Ring of Honor moving forward. He already calls himself the franchise. He has for a while in Ring of Honor. Have him just be over the top obnoxious with Sanjay Dutt at ringside, trying to generate as much heat as he can, insist on shaking hands, take every dirty trick in the book, shake the unconscious guy's hand at the end of the match, and just be a smarmy jerk about it the entire time. There.
Yeah,
that's at least something. And you can have Excalibur and Taz or Tony Schiavone or whomever talk about the history of Ring of Honor, the, you know, how this is not what honor's really all about. You know, Excalibur has history with dozens of guys that went through Ring of Honor, even if he never performed there himself. He'd be like, I can speak to what this company meant to these people. This is not it. And, you know, you're putting over Jay Lethal as this sort of false messiah of ROH, and you're explaining what the code of honor is, which is an integral part of the promotion and the process. That one's free. Done.
that was free advice. Clip this and send it to them. I'm interested, though. The Sutton Singh thing has really thrown sort of a wrench in the works, because if he's going to wrestle, I feel like he can't be overshadowed by Jay Lethal. And we all know how talented Jay Lethal is and how, you know, great he is at character work and diversity in that way. But now I feel like Jay Lethal is almost obligated to be his manager and his mouthpiece. And I don't know if that's a step forward for ROH or a step back. And I won't know until they put Singh into a match or anything of substance. Him coming out and chokeslamming guys is cool. It looks cool. I don't know if this is a good place for him, and I don't know if this is a good place for Jay Lethal following a heel turn, which should have been, you know, something that got his momentum going. And I think it's evidenced in the crowd. I don't think either crowd at Dynamite or, you know, at Battle of the Belts enjoyed it.
Yeah, I genuinely wonder at this point if some of the delay is not issues with Tony wanting ROH to be on broadcast TV. Mm-hmm. Or cable TV, as opposed to just being a internet exclusive. But, I'm going to follow up on that in just a second. Would you use the darks as your ROH building shows for now, from Ryan? There definitely is a feel of spinning wheels right now. And that may well be on a streaming channel. I don't know. There may be negotiations ongoing, you know, as we speak. Honestly, I don't know. But it's hard to escape the idea that you're feeling like the company is spinning its wheels right now. And it makes me wonder if Tony might not have jumped the gun a little bit with this deal and moving forward. Whether that's, you know, buying the company and immediately going full speed ahead with it, because it's probably a passion project for him, so he's probably excited. But it seems like all your ducks were not in a row before you embarked on this process. And it's causing a company that had a lot of positive buzz coming out of WrestleMania weekend to kind of be losing momentum in a time that's very, very critical to it. That being said, like Ryan asked, would you use the darks as your ROH building shows for now? At least one, I think you do. I think you have to. I think you need to do something to put out, to give the impression that ROH is a different product, to define that product and how it's going to look, how it's going to feel, And yeah, that's going to be expensive. It's probably going to be new sets. It's probably going to be new logos and branding. It's probably going to be fleshing out the roster. But until such a time as you can put it on a more concrete home, I think you have to do something here to keep this thing hot. I don't know that long-term it's the answer, but I think you have to do it right now.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And it seems as of right now that ROH is not going to be AEW developmental in the way that NXT is WWE developmental, just because the champions right now aren't really developmental guys. You can make the argument for Wheeler Yuta, but I don't at this point. And so those are established titles, and they have, you know, very, very talented people carrying them. So to me, that says ROH is going to be its own brand. And right now, there's no identity to it. It's just AEW-ish. And I don't know what the solution is. I think, first of all, I think you need to get the women's belt on AEW TV, because we've seen everything else. And, you know, we have a big women's tournament. Why put the Ring of Honor women's champion in there? You know, we have some stuff. And maybe Kyle wants to get into this, because he mentioned it earlier in our DMs about, you know, there's some stuff about Willow and Deonna and sort of this, you know, fledgling women's division in ROH. Willow Nightingale is great, and I'm so surprised that she's not All Elite, but I mean, that's a tangent and a rant for another one. But where was I going with this? Oh, I feel like ROH needs an identity, and right now its identity is just Jay Lethal. And that is a little bit problematic.
100% agree. And I guess at the end of the day, we just kind of have to hope that we can figure something out and they can move on mm-hmm. from this. And it might be a case of we're just not seeing the whole puzzle, because I mean, I think, to be entirely honest, I think AEW and Tony Khan have earned at least some leeway to actually, you know, wait and see where it goes. Yeah. In general, with a few exceptions, in general, they've been pretty good about hold tight. It'll get someplace good. Obviously not always, but enough that it's reasonable to at least say so. That does bring me to Willow Nightingale. And this past Thursday on Impact, Willow participated in Deonna Purrazzo's Champ Champ Challenge and challenged for the Ring of Honor Women's World title. So that's clearly something that is still, obviously Willow's still chasing the gold. Mm-hmm. And we're still working towards Deonna and Mercedes Martinez. That's still coming somewhere. So it gives us at least a couple. It still only gives us those two pieces of the ROH women's division.
Yeah.
And Willow's fantastic. We love Willow here. We love Mercedes here. But nothing else. Really?
With all the stuff that's going on, I don't understand why they can't be on AEW TV. Of course, Willow was, but we haven't seen Mercedes in a while, and we have a big tournament going on, so I'm not exactly sure why she's not in it. But, you know, maybe she will be, and it'll all be okay. I don't know. But to me, it feels like the women's division is an afterthought, which is concerning because it's an afterthought for AEW already. And part of me would rather just retire the title than have a bad division and have, you know, some talented women caught up in that. And, you know, maybe that's just me not wanting women's wrestling to suffer in that way. And just in, because if you look at New Japan, there's no women's division, but it's like, if there was a women's division, what would it look like? I don't know. And so to me, I would just rather retire the title. If they're not going to do anything with it, just get rid of it, honestly. A no title is better than a joke of a title or a joke of a division. And the AEW women's division is already struggling. There's no room for another title there. So, you can't really. Yeah, watch Demo Divas on Fightful. We did a deep dive to AEW a few weeks ago. So a lot of this is just me regurgitating what I said there. But it doesn't take a lot to highlight a champion and put her on TV. And someone like Willow, just put her anywhere on AEW. And you could really start building the ROH women's division. But if we can't even get Thunder Rosa on TV that often, and she's the AEW Women's World Champion, I don't have a lot of hope for, you know, building feuds and things for the women moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah. At the risk of sounding a little snarky, which I know is deeply surprising for me, the women's division being an afterthought does kind of fit in with the history of ROH. Let's be honest.
Yeah. You're definitely right. Kyle K. Snarks, trademark that. Someone's going to steal it.
I just wait until the parody account goes live. It's going to be fantastic. It has been for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had Sumi Sakai in the very early shows around 2002 and 2003, a couple of dates. But beyond that, they went without a women's division for a long time. They did a few, you know, half-hearted Women of Honor concepts with Rain and Lacey and Daisy Hayes. But beyond that, that was about it for a long time until they brought they finally actually developed a title for it a few years ago.
Yeah.
So this is kind of in keeping with what they've always been. Eddie James on YouTube watching says, hire Maria Kanellis for both divisions. I've been banging that drum for a while. I'm sure Kylie said similar things as well.
Yeah.
I believe at one point on Twitter, Maria did confirm that she was not specifically beholden to Impact Wrestling at this juncture. So I don't think necessarily that there would be any issue with it. But you know, that would be a huge step, especially towards developing the character of that division. Also, for the love of God, sign people.
Exactly.
I'm 6'3" and we can have lists as long as my arms to just and longer of amazing women that are killing it out there. That Kylie and the Demo Divas, for instance, talk about every single week. And there they sit.
We really, and if you look at the indies on any weekend, if you look at, you know, Warrior Wrestling, Beyond, any indies, there's always, you know, main event level women's matches because women's wrestling is at a peak outside of, ironically, the two biggest mainstream companies. But there's so much talent available, and the fact that Tony Khan is either uninterested in trying to get that talent or he's not paying what he needs to be paying for that talent is concerning, especially because now he has to book two women's divisions.
Right.
And somehow get enough talent to work both of those divisions. And if you look at the AEW women's roster, it's so small compared to the men's roster. It's pathetic. There's no one in that division. And that's why we see the same faces over and over again. He definitely needs to hire more women if he's going to have two divisions. But do I think it's going to happen? Probably not. I think he, and I don't want to, you know, pass judgment on Tony Khan because I don't know the man, of course. But it's been 3 years. And, you know, let the women learn, let them develop, yada, yada. That argument is moot at this point because Athena is out there and she's not signed to AEW. And by all reports, Tony Khan isn't interested in signing her. So it's not a matter of signing women and letting them learn and grow in AEW. It's the fact that he sees that no interest in signing women who are already well-seasoned pros. And that's a problem.
Yeah. Nixon Newell is out there. She's another one. Taya Valkyrie just made her debut in Impact. So in all likelihood, she's probably locked down. I would imagine they would. I don't know why you wouldn't lock down a Taya Valkyrie if you have her on online. We just saw the comment go up at the bottom of the screen there from Ryan again. Thunder Rosa runs Mission Pro, a fantastic company that is putting on so bangers good. Shows every single, like, every time out. You know, the talent is there. The talent has been there. And all great names. We just saw a bunch of them listed there. Eddie James in the chat. Trisha Dora, Mia Yim, Athena, Billy Starks, Nixon Newell. Mm-hmm. And that's just a small handful. I know that there's Jody Threat is out there, who's fantastic. We don't need to go over this again. It's every single week. It's the same discussion, and I don't know how many times we can have the same discussion. Willow should 100% be the face of this division moving forward. She has the built-in babyface shine. She mm-hmm. has everything that you need. She can deliver in the ring. The fans know her and love her. And it's just a matter of doing it. Looking at the AEW women's roster, you mentioned Warrior Wrestling. Sky Blue.
Yeah,
has gone out and had phenomenal matches in all across the Midwest Indies, and is capable of so much more than she's been able to show on AEW television. She would be another phenomenal candidate for that budding division, because realistically, AEW is top heavy enough in the women's division with the kind of talent that they have between Rosa and Britt and Deeb and, you know, Hayter and Toni Storm and Ruby Riott, that you can build that division and let some of the others get some more TV time and do their thing and build a following in ROH. It just requires the commitment. And once again, you know this, you've said this, we see no evidence that it's there.
Yeah. And it's concerning to me for the women's division and the tag team division in particular, that we've seen no progress in signings for ROH or any idea of what the roster will look like. Will there be permanent talent? Will it be developmental? Will it be a super indie of some kind? Like, we have no idea. And the fact that we have all these stories going on with Wheeler Yuta and Gresham and Jay Lethal, which is great. For all my criticism, I do love having ROH stories on AEW TV because I think it'll get people to watch ROH. But who is going to be there? Who is going to get me to watch? Wheeler Yuta, probably. FTR, probably. But it's like, what are they going to do? Right now, the belts feel like props for AEW. And that's not a good plan for establishing, you know, a new brand. And the women's division is, of course, the worst example of, you know, booking misdeeds by Tony Khan. But ultimately, if you look at from the announcement of the, you know, purchase of Ring of Honor till now, we've had nothing of substance, with the exception of Super Card of Honor. But then again, all of that was already kind of in the works, and a lot of that was up to the talent and the, you know, incredible matches they had. But, you know, not to harp on this every week, because I feel like we do, we need something. Like, if Ring of Honor is just going to be a fixture of AEW, tell us that. Like, we'll get used to it. If you bought Ring of Honor just for the video library and the titles, tell us that. Like, the lack of transparency is the real issue here. And I think that's why excitement is dwindling for ROH.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to make Honor Club navigable, then that's a win unto itself.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. I mentioned the other day, they still don't have the year 2007 there. One of the few people who's probably navigating to 2007 ROH. Yeah, probably. But that being said, that it's not there is disappointing. I just wish we had something to go on. And the fact that we don't is just continually disappointing. I'm sorry that our first live episode has come across kind of negative, but we're trying to figure out where all this sits. Yes, Nigel versus Morishima was a phenomenal feud. That was just Nigel chasing the inhuman monster Morishima all over, and finally picking up his big, oh, it was tremendous. Sorry. I will always rep Morishima's run in ROH, brief though it was. I would like to hope that there's something more coming down the pike. And I think there probably is. And I saw somebody make the point in the chat. It's probably, I think it was Ryan, that, you know, Tony was in a difficult spot when he took over ROH, and it was, you kind of have to do something with the product. Otherwise it gets stagnant. And so I understand where that's coming from, but, as you said, and it's been your point from the word go, that you're a promoter, you can and should share stuff with us when possible. I don't think anything that's happening behind the scenes right now with ROH is, you know, beyond top secret level clearance or anything else. Like, you're negotiating a TV deal, tell us you're negotiating a TV deal. You're getting ready to launch streaming on YouTube, tell us that too. Give us, you know, something. I'm pretty sure Wheeler Yuta, who you mentioned, I don't believe, and somebody correct me if I'm wrong, I'm sure someone will, it's the internet. I don't believe Wheeler Yuta came out with the pure title for the Blackpool Combat Club six-man.
I don't remember.
I don't believe, I'd have to go back and look, but I don't believe he did, which is, that was the kind of thing that put him over the top of, hey, I'm the pure champion now. I belong in this group, and I belong with these guys. And now he's with them. And have we seen the pure title belt on AEW television since then?
Once. They did a backstage promo and he was wearing it.
So
and maybe this is, you know, jumping the gun, but it really does feel like the ROH purchase was for the library and everything else is just kind of building as it goes. Like, there's no plan in place. And as much as I trust Tony Khan as a booker, because I do love AEW, I'm not sure that's the best plan of action with the new acquisition of what is essentially an entirely new business. And if he can't do it, I don't understand why he isn't putting someone in charge who can. And that's worrying.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to say that I'm going to continue to have faith.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, we're doing an ROH podcast. We don't really have any other choice. And hopefully we'll see where it goes. Hopefully we'll flesh out the roster. I was glad to see Dalton Castle show up on AEW television, because we're both huge Dalton Castle fans, and his was a name that was conspicuously absent from a lot of the early talk after the acquisition. So there were definitely some concerns early on. I know I voiced them. I think we talked about it on a previous episode shortly after the acquisition, that where's Dalton Castle's name in all of this? Because this guy is such a star.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thankful he's involved. It looks like, to sort of start to piece it together, you have a male roster that appears, assuming it's going to be somewhat concrete, to involve Jonathan Gresham, Jay Lethal, Samoa Joe, Satnam Singh, Dalton Castle, Lee Moriarty, Matt Sydal, Wheeler Yuta, which... that's eight, and that's a pretty decent eight to start with, all things considered, to be entirely fair to Tony and the concept. And keeping in line with AEW, you've only got two women that have been announced as anything remotely of substance. And that's about pace with AEW, the three or four men to one woman. And so, hey, maybe it's going to blow us all out of the water. Maybe this announcement isn't on Wednesday, isn't going to be the AEW New Japan Super Show that everybody's assuming that it is. Maybe this is finally going to be something related to ROH. Maybe it's going to be Honor Club is going to be a thing again. Maybe it's going to be streaming deal with whomever. Probably not, but maybe. And we're going to keep looking and watching for whatever comes next.
Yeah, I'm optimistic, but as time goes on, I get more and more cautious. We also only have one tag team, and it's the champions. So
yes,
that's a little bit of an issue and not very AW-like, but I'll, you know, reserve my judgment. Apparently, the Briscoes are going to be Impact full-time. Congratulations to them. I think they fit in well there, but that means all we have is FTR. But my closing thoughts, I thought this week in the ring was very good. I thought Joe Suzuki was excellent. I thought Gresham Don Castle was excellent. I hope we get more, you know, good matches from, you know, the Ring of Honor guys moving forward. And I hope in this coming week with Dynamite and Rampage, we fix this Jay Lethal angle. Yes. We do something to fix it.
Yeah. I think I might try something different in celebration of being live for a final thought here. And it does, it might be some homework assignments for our people watching today, which is the match between Samoa Joe and Minoru Suzuki. The thought occurred to me after we mentioned it, and I didn't want to derail the conversation any further by going back to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it reminded me of a match that Samoa Joe had back in 2002. It was, I believe, his Ring of Honor debut at Glory by Honor. Joe had a fight without honor against Low Ki. And the two of them brutalized each other. And watching back the Joe Suzuki match gave me heavy vibes of that match, because it was just heavy strike after heavy strike after heavy strike until one guy couldn't stand anymore. And go track down that match. Subscribe to Honor Club. Go find it from the first Glory by Honor in October of 2002 and check it out. The show in general is great. It's main evented by Christopher Daniels versus Doug Williams, which both of them are such tremendous technicians. It was a great match. I will warn you, be aware the commentary in early ROH is terrible. But power through that. Check out early Joe. He's wearing long trunks, so it's very jarring. He's wearing the long boys. And check it out, because I think you will absolutely see the parallels. That's right. That also did. Three guys that came up in the Texas Independence under Rudy Boy Gonzalez. And they all killed it. And that eventually built to a fantastic Paul London, Michael Shane fight without honor at one point as well. That was, I believe, the birth of the Please Don't Die chance. But, so, no lies detected. That is 100% true. That's really where I'm at. Go check out the old ROH. You'll see something fun. You'll learn something new. You'll see a side of somebody you haven't seen before, and you might see some parallels to the modern day. As far as any other final thoughts, honor's real. Honor is real, and let's enjoy this ride. I've said it week in and week out. I'll say it again. Jump on the bandwagon with us. Come along for the ride. We don't know where we're going yet, but we're going to have a good time getting there. Do you want to do your plugs?
Yeah. I just wanted to say, I think it's hilarious that we started this podcast and a week later, Tony Khan bought Ring of Honor. But here we are. Follow me on Twitter at @Fuller_Kylie. You can see us every Monday at 3 here on the Code of Honor podcast. We'll find stuff to talk about. We'll make it work. You can see me every Sunday at 5 p.m. on Fightful Overbook for Demo Divas, talking all things women's wrestling, which hopefully includes stuff from Ring of Honor in the future. Follow us on Twitter at Code of Honor Cast. You can send us things to talk about, news, matches, whatever you want. You can find us there for that. I'm going to turn it over to Kyle. Kyle, where can the people find you?
I can be found on Twitter at Kyle K Sparks. They're all right there, all on the screen, handy dandy for you. I am here every Monday at 3 with the ROH Code of Honor Cast here on Body Slam Net. So follow me here. follow Body Slam Net on all your socials, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Make sure you hit the subscribe button so you're getting all the latest news. Buy Body Slam merch at PWTs. I also write for Body Slam periodically, doing news updates and things of that nature. So you can occasionally catch me there. We are getting into football season, so I will warn everybody that my Twitter feed is gonna get a lot of NFL draft and football takes coming up. So bear with me through that. And if you're not a Packers fan, I deeply apologize. There's gonna be a lot of that content. So sift through it. There's lots of good wrestling content to be had as well. I try to live tweet Rampage and Dynamite as often as I can. Some weeks I'm traveling for work and I can't do it, like this past week. But more often than not, you'll find me dropping hot takes on the timeline, just like I do here. I dropped a good one earlier today about Kevin Steen and that whole run. Had some fun with that I dropped on the Code of Honor Cast Twitter. Follow.
TV12.
Unacceptable. Unacceptable. Follow the Code of Honor podcast Twitter feed at Code of Honor Cast. And we may not be live every week, but we decided to we'd give it a go this week. Hopefully everybody enjoyed it. And we'll see you next week when hopefully we've got a lot more fun news to talk about with Ring of Honor. Thanks, everybody.
Bye, guys.